Om Namaho Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namaho Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 8. On the board we have text number 33. But because there are no purports, we are starting with chanting. I will chant verse 31. We won't do it responsibly because we don't have it on the board. Itahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuta Sad Asachchayat Satyanana Na Sarve Yandu Nasam Upadravaha. Translation. The subtle and gross cosmic manifestation is material. But nevertheless, listen carefully, this is very important. It is material, the cosmic manifestation is material. But nevertheless, it is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because He is ultimately the cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam Lakta Brahma Samhita. Cause and effect. Cause and effect are factually one. So effect means result. Result. Cause means the beginning or some kind of endeavor, cause, some sort of beginning. Cause and effect, the result produced by an effort, are factually one because the cause is present in the effect. You see, this is sophisticated philosophy. This is not, actually this is not beginner level. Not at all. Srimad Bhagavatam is actually postgraduate, you know, because this requires meditation, doesn't it? We have to digest. This is not, these are not small concepts that are presented here. We have to pause for a moment and digest. Cause and effect are factually one because the cause is present in the effect. So what does this mean? Because it's a very mysterious statement. The cause is present in the effect. So the verse is speaking about the material world. The material world is the effect or the result. This is the point. The material world is a result of the actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the cause, that's made doubly clear here, Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes, and this material world is the effect or the result. It's what He creates, in other words. The Supreme Personality creates something, like a potter sits down with a lump of clay, right? And then spins it around on the wheel, and it's actually very beautiful to watch, you know, the artistry as they can spin a masterpiece of a clay pot, you know, starting with a lump of clay. And that example, the potter would be like the cause, although the clay is part of the cause, and the effect is the beautiful pot that they, you know, perhaps you've seen the videos or here in India, you can watch potters working with clay very masterfully. So the effect is the pot. So the cause is present in the effect. In this example of a pot, The mastership, the capability, the skill of the potter is present in the pot. You see the point? the skill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as creator is present in the creation that he causes to be manifested. So, the effect and the cause are non-different. Supposing the potter is very famous. So then his pottery, there's some demand for it, you know. So they say, this is a piece by Mr. Joshi. Oh, Mr. Joshi, Jai, okay, sure, I'll pay 20,000 rupees for it, you know. So in other words, in one sense, he is present in the potter, isn't it, you see? Because his name, his fame, his ability, his style, everything is invested in that pot. He himself is invested in that pot. Well, he's the creator, he's the cause, and the effect is the pot. And he's present in that also because his personality is present in the pot. Oh, you go into the museum and you see, oh, that's a piece by Mr. Joshi. You know. So we see, by looking at the pot, you identify the personality of the maker, you see? Yes, this is Sankhya. Sankhya. By looking at the material creation we establish, we identify the maker. The maker. Actually, I opened a small preaching center and Berkeley, California, USA, in 1969. I had been a student at the university there, and I thought it would be a very good, fertile preaching field because it's one of the top intellectual centers of the world. And there was a student there at the university by the name of Howie, or Howard. And so, I used to preach to him. And then one day, there was, in California, in the springtime, sometimes after the rainy season in, say, April or so, April or May, then there's no air pollution in the Bay Area, at least there wasn't in those days anyways. The wind, there's nice wind coming from the ocean, it was blowing away the air pollution. On a spring day, it's very beautiful. The flowers are growing everywhere, and the clouds are like, you know, wisps of cotton floating in the blue, you know, and it's very, very pleasing springtime. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of seasons, I am the spring, because it's the most beautiful of the seasons. Winter is not very beautiful. I mean, of course, you know, people that live in snow country consider it very beautiful, can be considered very beautiful. Snow is covering everything out in the countryside anyways, and the city is not so beautiful. But when the snow is covering everything, actually it's quite beautiful, that's all right. The fall, the leaves are falling off, and the west, they are trees that have, in the fall, all the leaves fall off the trees of certain that aren't called perennials, they aren't year long, and so, and then they're just a skeleton of a tree standing there. This is not very nice, you know. In the eastern United States, in California, it's not like the eastern United States, a lot of the trees, they lose all their leaves, and then they're just a skeleton of a tree standing, not very beautiful. So therefore, Krishna says, he claims springtime, yes. This is me, this is I. I am, of seasons, I am the flower-bearing spring, he says specifically. So it was a beautiful day like that in Berkeley, California, and there was a festival, non-devotee festival being held up in the mountains behind the university. Everything was green, lots of trees, lots of grass, very beautiful. So, Howard, he was there, and I was there. I was there to teach Krishna consciousness. And actually, I did some pretty amazing thing. It was a rock and roll concert, and I went there because it was young people, and there was a flatbed truck they were using for a stage. And in between, when there was no music, I got up on the stage all by myself with a pair of kowtows and chanted Hare Krishna and tried to engage people in chanting Hare Krishna. Pretty, we say in America, kind of a gutsy thing to do. But anyways, it worked. And so Howie was at that occasion, and he said to me, "Isn't it a beautiful day?" I said, "Yes. And if it's such a beautiful day, just imagine how beautiful the Creator must be." That struck him, you know, because 25 years later, he vividly remembered that statement. It struck him in the heart. He's very intelligent, obviously. He's a genius, most likely. It struck him in the heart. Cause and effect. He understood, oh, if there's this much, yes, that must be correct. That if the creation is so beautiful, that the Creator must be even more beautiful than the creation. As a non-devotee, he could understand that. That's intelligence, you see. So then he was so struck. So decades later, he repeated that. Decades later, because it installed, that truth installed in his heart, this truth of cause and effect, it installed in his heart. And so it caused him to open up the lotus of his heart. He become fully receptive to Krishna consciousness. So it's very wonderful. So therefore we see this cause and effect concept and how they're non-different is very important. Therefore, the shloka continues, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, can destroy all our dangers by any of his potent parts. This is very wonderful. Now, this material world is called Marchyaloka, place of death. Padam padam vipadam. Danger at every step. In the big cities, out in the country, we don't notice so much, you know. But in the realm of, as soon as there's a highway, it immediately becomes conspicuous. The motorbikers, you know, before they made it a helmet law, so many accidents where they are struck by somebody, or they hit an oil slip, or some gravel, something happens, and then the bike goes over and they strike their head, get a concussion or a broken skull, and end up in intensive care. So danger at every step, though they were trying to enjoy their beautiful red motorbike, and then suddenly finished, you see. Suddenly, first sukha, and then dukkha. First some happiness, oh, look at that, vroom vroom, my beautiful red motorbike, and then dukkha, oh, actually lose consciousness, coma in an ICU, you know. This is what the material world is all about. Sukha, dukkha, sukha, dukkha. You know. And sometimes the sukha doesn't even show up. It's chapala sukha. It is so flickering. Flickering like a candle. Like now, you try to put a ghee lamp under here and it's going to flicker, you know. Flickering. It's going to be hard to see. Probably maybe blow out. So my happiness in the material world, it blows out very easily. Sometimes it doesn't even get started. So we see that some people are suffering greatly from birth, even birth defects, mental retardation. You know, they're like this for the rest of their life. You know, bad karma, sinful activities in their past life. They're born this way. You know, so. But amazingly, we see also in ISKCON, we see that sometimes persons with birth defects and who are crippled and their body is distorted. Maybe they have to go in a wheelchair for the rest of their life. And become devotees. Hariwa! Come on. Hariwa! Go Hariwa! Go Hariwa! Nidai go Hariwa! There are quite a few devotees like this. So this is mixed karma, you know. They did something sinful and ended up being born in a crippled body, a disfigured body. But due to some pious activity, they became devotees. It's amazing. The science of Krishna consciousness is so perfect. A non-devotee can never explain. Well, how can you see any good fortune in this guy? Because he became a devotee of the Supreme Lord, and he'll never take such an unfavorable birth again. That's why. You see? Mixed karma. Mixed karma. But he did perform pious activities. Because the Shastra says clearly that anyone who chants Hare Krishna has already studied all of the Vedas. You must have heard that many times, yes? No? You never heard that before? Never heard it before? It's clearly written in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Shastras that the anyone who chants Hare Krishna has already studied all of the Vedas. Look it up. How many of you have Vedabase available? Look it up in the Vedabase. Very important. So all of you sitting here today have already studied all of the Vedas. And you say, oh, come on, you know, I'm not a scholar, I'm not that intelligent. Why can you say, you know, I already studied all the Vedas. I mean, I'm just barely trying to get a grip on Krishna consciousness. Yes! Because Krishna consciousness is above the Vedas. That's why. It's higher than the Vedas. So we may have studied all of the Vedas. That's very good. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, the Vedas deal primarily with the three modes of material nature. Uh-oh. So we studied the Vedas, yeah, as non-devotees or semi-devotees, not very strong. The bhakti was not, hardly any bhakti was present, otherwise why we had to come back again another birth, you see. Wasn't much. We studied all the Vedas, but Krishna says the Vedas deal primarily with the three modes of material nature, therefore rise above them, O Arjuna. So we studied all the Vedas. But we had to come back again because we didn't get the real siddhanta of the Veda is Sarva Dharma Prachasam Mamikam Saranam Bhaja Am Tam Saprapapebhyo Moksha Yusyami Mahasuchaha. To surrender to Krishna is the summum bonum, that's Latin means, the sum total, the siddhanta of the Vedas is to surrender to Krishna. So we didn't get it, so we had to come back again. Very simple. Sometimes a student is held back in school, you know, if they don't do that well, you know. Sometimes they're held back a grade. Well, judged by the result, we were held back. we didn't make it any kind of moksha, nothing, no. We had to come back to school again, you know. And we had to come back and study Krishna consciousness and practice bhakti yoga on the direction of Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. We had to come back again. We weren't complete, you see. So this is a very nice statement. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can destroy all our dangers by any of his potent parts. Any portion of the Supreme Lord. Of course, there's also plenary portions, expansions. Like Lord Nrisimhadev is expansion. And here, the promise of Shastra is that he can destroy all our dangers. This naturally brings to mind Lord Nrisimhadev. You know, he can destroy all of our dangers. But Lord Vishnu also, in his regular form, destroys all the dangers of the demigods, you see. They're constantly put into, it's eternal pastime, that the demigods are always being put into great difficulty by the demons. And then Lord Vishnu, sometimes he personally comes and fights with the demons, you know, just for the fun of it, because he likes sports, you know. Sometimes he comes personally, riding on Garuda, and he fights with demons along with Lord Shiva and Kali and Indra. They fight against demons. So this material world is a very dangerous place, but one who fully takes shelter of Krishna, here the promise is that even a potent part of the Lord or expansion can destroy all our dangers. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Go Hari Bol! This is nice. This is why, just like I was listening on the radio the other day, I think it was what, day before yesterday or so, and this Mataji was giving class, and she said, whenever my mind disturbs, I was listening on the radio, whenever my mind is disturbed, I just take shelter to Srimad Bhagavatam. This is amazing. Is she here today who gave that class? No? That was stunning. Stunning, absolutely wonderful. How many of you were here when she gave class? It was an absolutely stunning class. You know, she said her grandmother has read the Srimad Bhagavatam 12 times. I don't know if there's anybody here who has read it 12 times. I can't say that. I'd be lying if I said I had read it 12 times. You know? Huh? 24 times. Oh my goodness. So she's a pure devotee. You know. So, whenever their mind is disturbed, one should take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was very amazing the way she was explaining that she just always takes shelter of the Bhagavatam and gets complete relief. Astonishing. You know, absolutely astonishing. This is a sign of real ruchi. The genuine article, the genuine thing, that no matter what happens, you take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you take shelter of Krishna. So this is astonishing. This is a sign of pure devotion to Krishna. So we'll go on to the next two verses. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entities, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the entire creation are all individual substances. So the Supreme Personality of God is spiritual. The jivas are part and parcel. They're also spiritual. Supreme Personality of God is Satchitananda Vigraha. The jivas are also Satchitananda Vigraha, but they're small, very finite, very limited. Then there's the material energy, which emanates also from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual energy, Ladini Shakti, and the entire creation are all individual substances. They're different. There's unity in diversity. They're one and different. Again, Achintaveda, another different version, a different concept of Achintaveda Veda Tattva. They are one and different also. There are varieties. Material energy is different from Ladini Shakti, but it's also non-different. So individual substances, the collection of different energies, and in the previous verse, clearly stating that they're non-different from the Lord Himself. The cause and effect are non-different. In the ultimate analysis, however, together they constitute the Supreme One. So here again is confirmed that the material energy is one with the Supreme Personality of God. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's the whole chapter on the universal form of the Lord. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, the Virata Rupa is described with great detail. And although it is composed of material energy, it is a complete form of the Lord. Yet it is emanating from Sri Banga Krishna, the flute player. But so we see throughout the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, the descriptions of how this material energy is one with the Lord Himself. Otherwise, Krishna would not just be describing the Virata Rupa and revealing to Arjuna. If it was only mundane and had nothing to do with the Absolute Truth, He would not reveal in a revealed scripture, Bhagavad Gita, He wouldn't reveal, and Srimad Bhagavatam would not give detailed description of the material of the Virata Rupa also, you see? If it was actually mundane, if it had no substance, if it had no spiritual substance underpinning, if it had no real truth to it, with a capital T, then it would not be put into the Shastra for us to study, you see? So it is there, so we are studying it, so we understand, and then we are supposed to understand the distinctions between the material energy and Ladini Shakti, or the spiritual energy. We are meant to study all these things in Krishna consciousness. That's what the Shastra is for. So the personality of Godhead, therefore those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge see unity, you see, here it is. See unity in diversity. I hadn't actually read that yet, but we see the verses confirming exactly what I said, you know. Therefore, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge say unity and diversity. So it's another form of Achindaveda Veda Tattva, simultaneously one and different, you see. So this is very wonderful. In understanding Achindaveda Veda Tattva, this concept is very deep. And it is exclusive to Gaudiya Vaishnavas. There is no other Sampradaya of the Vaishnava Sampradayas that teach Achindaveda Veda Tattva. There's other concepts, such as the Supreme Personality and the Living Entities are spiritual, but that they are one, and that how they're connected, the concept is different in other Vaishnava teachings. So, unity and diversity. For such advanced persons, the Lord's bodily decorations, His name, His fame, His attributes, and fortune, attribute and forms, and the weapons in His hand are manifestations of the strength of His potency, which He likes to show off, you know. Well, this is 32 and 33 combined. So it's the second part of this shloka. We'll go back and we'll chant it, but I'll first finish reading here. The Lord's body decorations, name, fame, His attributes and forms, and the weapons in His hands are manifestations of His strength, of His potency. He likes to show them off, His weapons, His chakra. One day, Krishna was playing chess with Rukmini. And he was in a relaxed mood, and the demon was attacking, you know, and he didn't feel like fighting that day. He was enjoying playing chess with his wife and relaxing, and the demon was causing a disturbance, you know. So he just told Sushan, let's go get him. We'll level the city of Varanasi. Go ahead, just go. So Sushan Chakra, yes sir. You know. Wiped out the demon, wiped out all the residents of Varanasi, leveled the whole city, you know. And Krishna just went on playing chess with Rukmini, you know. So he likes to show off his potencies in this way, you see. So according to their elevated spiritual understanding, the omniscient means all-knowing, Lord, who manifests various forms, is present everywhere. May He always protect us everywhere from all calamities. So now let's chant verse 33. Tadaiva satya manena sarvagyo bhagavan hari patu sarvai swarup parasna Sada Sarvatada Sarvagaha Taneva Satya Manena Savagyo Bhagavan Hari Patu Sarvai Swaruparanaha Suruparanaha Sada Sarvachita Sarvagaha. Next. Satya Manena Bhagyo Bhagavan Hari Bhagavan Hari Patu Sarvai Swaruparna Sada Sarvacha Sarvagaha Tanaiva Satya Manena Sarvagyo Bhagavan Hari Patu Sarvai Swaruparna Sada Sarvacha Sarvagaha. Mara, ladies. Tanaiva Satya Manena Savagyo Bhagavan Hari Patu Sarvaya Sharuparanaha Sada Sarvatara Sarvagaha Tanaiva Satya Manena Bhagyo Bhagavan Hari Vajra Sarvaya Saruparana Sarasarvachara Sarvagaha. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. We've already read the translation. A person highly elevated in spiritual knowledge knows that nothing exists but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, where the Lord Krishna says, Mayatatam Medang Sarvam, indicating that everything we see is an expansion of His energy. So the previous verse said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can destroy all our dangers by any of His potent parts. So here Prabhupada is saying, everything we see is an expansion of His energy. Same thing. This is confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. Ekadesha sitasya agner jyotasna vistarini yata parasya paramana shaktis tatedam akilam jagad. As a fire, although existing in one place, can expand its light and heat everywhere, so the omnipotent Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although situated in His spiritual abode, expands Himself everywhere in both the material and spiritual worlds by His various energies. Since both cause and effect are the Supreme Lord, this we've discussed, there is no difference between cause and effect. Consequently, the ornaments and weapons of the Lord, being expansions of His spiritual energy, are not different from Him. There is no difference between the Lord and His variously presented energies. So Prabhupada is really emphasizing this point, which this shloka has said, unity in diversity. Unity in diversity. So Prabhupada wants to make certain that we get the point, unity and diversity. So therefore, often we say the so-called material energy. In one sense, there is no such thing as material energy. It is all the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various manifestations. The self-realized soul doesn't see any material energy. He sees only jivas and Krishna, so he sees only spiritual energy. He sees also the energy of the so-called forms, like all the forms of the material world made of the so-called material energy. Self-realized soul sees that, but he sees everything as Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that everything is Krishna. Or Lord Vishnu, who of course is not different from Krishna. So, this is the difference, the vision. Now the question arises, the Mahabhagavat, who is situated in Krishna Prem, is that person, is it delusions of grandeur? Are they hallucinating? Are they hallucinating that everything is Krishna? Is it just because of their love of God that they see if everything is Krishna? Do you understand the point, Maharaji? Yes? Maybe. They understand, the point is their vision. Brimanjana jurate bhakti vilochanena. Lord Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita that when the eyes are decorated with the ointment of love of God. Now, so the question I'm asking, is it just the prem of the Mahabhagavat or Nityasiddha devotee, self-realized soul, that he sees everything as Krishna? How many of you think it's just because of his prem? Yes. That's a trick question. No, the difference between us, fallen souls, and the self-realized soul situated in perfect prem is that the vision of the Mahabhagavat is open. The Mahabhagavat sees things as they are. The Mahabhagavat sees the full and complete absolute truth. And then coming down from the Mahabhagavat situated in prem, and there's so many other levels of self-realization. The yogis are interested in Paramatma. They can see Paramatma, but they can't see in the same way as the fully self-realized Vaishnava. They can't see in the same way. Their revelation or realization is incomplete because they're after Paramatma. That's where their bhav goes. That's what they want. So, the truth is Vasudeva Sarvamite. The Krishna actually is everything. And the illusion is that the illusory energy is different from the Supreme Lord. That is the Maya. The Maya or the illusion is that the energy is different from the Lord. It is so clear here, unity and diversity, that the energy is none different from the Lord, and Prabhupada is really heavily emphasizing this point. You know. So therefore, the Shastra says that the whole Mahatattva, which is the material energy, Mahatattva is very vast. Who can measure, you could say, the diameter of the Mahatattva? You know, it's so vast. It is infinite in itself. But this infinity inside of infinity. The material energy is also infinite, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is infinite. So, the self-realized soul, therefore, sees only spiritual energy, only sees Krishna in everything, even the so-called material energy, such as cement, bricks, everything. He sees the Lord everywhere. So, it's not just a vision of the Mahabhagavat, but it is fact. The omniscient Lord manifests various forms and is present everywhere. May He always protect us everywhere from all calamities. Queen Kunti was praying like that also, you know. She wanted more and more calamities so that Krishna would be present more and more. And then one Mataji was told Srila Prabhupada, I'm praying that I can be put into more and more difficulty so that I can, have more and more realization of Krishna. Prabhupada said, don't do that. You have sufficient difficulty already. You can't artificially imitate Queen Kunti, you know. So, this all presence of the Maha Maya, the material energy, Mahatattva, but it's clearly stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when one is perfectly situated in Prema Bhakti, that the whole entire Mahatattva shrinks down to the size of the amount of water in a hoof print of a calf. So we're talking about somewhere between 1 inch and 1.5 inch, or 5 centimeters, 6 centimeters maximum. But this vast Mahatattva shrinks down to so small a size, and therefore the Bhagavad explains that the devotee easily crosses over. I mean, if it's only just a little puddle, an inch in diameter, then to step over such a puddle is very easy. You know, from having shrunk down from this vast material energy. Because the truth is revealed. Premanjana Jyoti Bhakti Vilochanena. The truth is revealed. And one sees the truth is that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So this is how we get enlightened from these section of Bhagavatam. Anyone have any question? Yes, loudly please. Oh, you've written it down? Okay, the question is, Krishna consciousness is so beautiful, but we see many devotees after joining Krishna consciousness again become engaged in sinful activities or give up Krishna consciousness. Why? You have to understand that Krishna consciousness is based on free will. Krishna will not keep slaves. That's the answer. He won't keep slaves. He will only keep lovers. Those who love Him. But if you have some other agenda, some other interest, you're after sex, you're after money, you're after power, you're after position, then Krishna will say, okay, you take that. I'll give you heavenly planets. Go with my blessings. But the average ISKCON devotee in Maya who leaves Krishna consciousness and chases after money making, chases after sex, or goes back to drug use, whatever, it is because they did not dive deep enough. They did not dive deep in Shravanam Kirtanam. That is the answer to your question. They did not dive deep enough in Shravanam Kirtanam. They did not become attached to Krishna for real. Like the Mataji that gave class, she's attached to Krishna, and especially worshipping and taking shelter of the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, she's attached to Krishna. She has ruchi, but the neophyte devotee that you have described that falls down, why did they fall down? No ruchi. And how do you get ruchi? Shravanam Kirtanam. You dive deep in kirtan, you dive deep in bhajan, you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, you listen to Prabhupada, you listen to Prabhupada's disciples, you dive deep in Shravanam Kirtanam. That is the medicine, that is the injection against Maya, given by acharyas. If we don't take the injection, just like somebody that has diabetes, if they don't take injection of insulin, they become extremely ill. We have to take the injection of sadhana bhakti. And out of sadhana, we're supposed to try to move towards some coloration of raguna or spontaneous feeling based on love. You know, I'll go so far as to say, as the Mataji gave class the other day, who takes shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anytime, anything, any setbacks in life, she takes shelter of Bhagavatam. This is sadhana bhakti. She has a strong coloration of Raghunuga. You understand? Actually, that's Raghunuga. It may be not the highest form, not the highest form. That's why I say coloration of Raghunuga. You understand? Somebody should relay the message to her. Somebody knows her should relay the message that I said that she's doing so well in Krishna consciousness. She's got this coloration of Raghunuga in her bhakti. That's the, so we offer our dandavat pranams to such a Vaishnavi who has got some coloration of Raghunuga. I mean, it's actual love for Krishna. It's real. It's not fake. It's not sahaja. It's not even beginner. Not even beginner. Not even. Ruchi is not beginner. A beginner, a neophyte, a kanista adhikari cannot have ruchi. But they haven't dived deep. You have to dive deep. That's the insurance. Then the second part, Krishna conscious is so... Huh? Oh, I see. Okay, okay. So it's a very important question because we see that many thousands of devotees have fallen down over the years. Sometimes so-called big devotees have fallen down. And sometimes when somebody with a big position with... Guru, GBC, and so forth. And sometimes they have admitted that the cause of their fall down was that they didn't dive deep enough into Shravanam Kirtanam. They honestly admit, you know, and thus they become entangled in pratistha position, become entangled, that the spiritual management became mundane, you see. The ecstasy of Krishna consciousness went away, and everything became mundane in their heart. The granti, the knot, again tightened. Punarmushika bhava, become again a mouse, like that, you know. Anyways, we have to stop there. Thank you very much. Jagaguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granjara Shima Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Bhadava Sasaki ki jai. Jai Gopuramanandi Hari Hari Bol.